It's City Desk. News and views from City Hall, Biloxi. Good morning, everyone. And now the host of our program, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this City Desk podcast on Thursday, August 9th at 10:27 in the morning here at Biloxi City Hall. Joining us in a little while will be Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, the Public Affairs Specialist for the city. But right now, the City Council and the Mayor have begun the budget workshop sessions leading up to the new fiscal year, which begins October 1st. Here to talk about what we have seen in the mayor's budget proposal to the City Council is our Chief Administrative Officer, E. Michael Leonard. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, just Mike. Well, that's a good point. A starting point is this is an iterative process. It works very much like a budget works in Washington, and that the administration proposes a budget to the legislature. In our case, the mayor and his staff proposes a budget to the City Council. We interact back and forth, answer lots of questions, make changes as necessary, and out comes the other end. After a series of budget workshops, out comes a finished budget. Now, we've just had one of those workshops, and the purpose of that workshop was to study revenue. That's an obvious starting point on any budget, is to try and decide how much income are we going to have next year before we start talking expenses. So that was really the total focus of our first budget. And one of the things we did, we looked at revenue past and current. Clearly, as we said to the council, we're interested in seeing how, say, the 2018, our current year budget, is rolling out, and how much revenue has come in sales tax and ad valorem tax and gaming tax and so forth. We've looked at how we're doing this year, but we also look historically back 3 or 4 years and look at the actual audited revenue, the real revenue that in fact has been audited and is real.
Mike, I got one thing though that I wanted to mention to you is that when a household does their budget, Mom and Dad know what their paycheck is going to be, but what you have to do is you have to project, from what I understand.
Right, but it's a safe projection if you really look at current year, and exactly, say for example on ad valorem tax, where are we on trying to hit the ad valorem tax target for this year? Where are we on sales tax for this year, 10 months into a 12-month year? So we've got, at this point, we've got a pretty good idea of how we're going to do this year. But even better to go back 3 more years, back to 2013, 14, 15, and see what did our auditors say actually happened. So we're not guessing. We may be guessing, but we're guessing with a lot of facts.
Well, tell me what those numbers showed you. And to give people an idea, by the way, our 3 major revenue streams in the city of Biloxi to provide your police, fire, and all the services the city provides, it's somewhere around $55, $57 million a year. And then that money comes from gaming taxes. It comes from property taxes, which y'all all call ad valorem. And then the other one is sales tax. So anyway, what have we seen in this budget that you've looked back on in the past?
Well, looking back at 2015, 2016, 2017, we ran $58 million, $55 million, $56 million, $58 million, $57 million. So those were the numbers. So actually, our projection for next year is $57.3 million, which is just slightly less than this year. It's a very conservative revenue general. This is for the general fund. Very, very conservative, safe, prudent number to start with.
Now, I was not in at the beginning of the budget meeting when y'all started talking about revenue, but Cecilia Dobbs-Walton was telling me that you have that unknown kind of. You've got that. The sports books are coming online.
The only revenue source that we are projecting will be higher next year than this is gaming. And we predicted that we would have in the area of $1 million additional income from gaming. It's 17.5 million this year. We're predicting 18.5. And if you think about that extra million divided over 12 months, that's not a really giant increase in the amount of revenue. So as we say, it's kind of the end of the Scarlet Pearl impact. We saw the dip when the Scarlet Pearl opened, and in those years since, the total gaming revenue has been a little flat, and we think this is the sports bet. Everything points to the fact that we should be able to pick up an extra million there. And because of that, at this point, the mayor is not projecting any ad valorem or property tax increase this year.
So we'll be at number, I don't know, 24, 25 years, huh, without?
We said 25 years at the council the other day. I think that's accurate.
Now, one of the things that's got to make it tough for you as someone who's working with all the different departments is you just hit the nail on the head. We have not raised the property tax rate for 25 years in Biloxi, but I would suspect that the price of gas, the price of milk, the price of a lot of things has gone up, supplies and services. Mm-hmm. What's your toughest job in putting this budget together?
Well, yeah, luckily we have a couple of enterprise funds that help us in the budget. The Port Enterprise Fund, which it actually runs a business, it runs like a business, so that we can change the rates that we charge for certain services and so forth. The larger of the two is the Water and Sewer Enterprise Fund, which has obviously we can change water rates, sewer rates, and so forth as we go to try and operate that like a business. And in fact, there's another rate increase that's scheduled for this year. It's already been approved by the City Council. It's a very small increase in the water rates and affects obviously the sewer rate. If when you affect the water rate, it changes the sewer rate, and that'll be effective the 1st of October. It doesn't, anybody that's in a lower category, like under 5,000 gallons usage a month, won't even see a change. So it's really only the really big commercial customers that are affected. So we're projecting extra income into that water sewer fund, which allows us to go out and do projects, repair sewer breaks and put in new sewer lines and water lines in places like World Market where we're not 100% yet. So that helps us from a budget standpoint because we've got extra revenue coming in those mm-hmm. water and sewer funds and the port funds.
And what you meant about it being an enterprise fund and how you can change those rates, what a lot of people may not realize is once you set that tax rate at the beginning of the year to start this budget October 1st, as I understand it, that's it, right?
That's it. A couple of big time bullets that we talked to the council about is The full-time employee account today is 647 employees, and that includes those that are working in those two businesses, the Water Sewer Fund and the Port Fund. We're projecting that the 647 will grow to 654, and that's almost entirely, that increase is almost entirely additional police officers. We're going to put additional police officers on the street this year. We're predicting that we will not do anything with our self-insurance medical fund any different this year. We do have, unfortunately, the PERS, or that's the PERS is the acronym for our state retirement system, has just told us that the employer contribution is going to increase this year from 15.75 to 17.40%. So that means all of our employees are going to get a little more expensive. Even though they don't get a raise, they're going to get more expensive to the city.
I was going to say that leads to the next one about how the mayor's proposed budget does not include an employee salary increase.
That's the case today. But remember, this is a workshop process. It's iterative. And at any point, if the city council decides it wants to do something different, they'll tell us that, and we'll negotiate back and forth. So the other thing is there's a lot of good news that we can't count on. For example, we have almost $700,000 worth of repairs that we've applied to FEMA for from Hurricane Nate a year ago. Mm-hmm. We think we're going to get most of that money, but it's not in the budget because we don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about money coming from GOMESA and the fund that's set up for revenues that come from the offshore oil production. That's not in the budget. We may get some GOMESA money. There's lots of talk about BP money and how much money is going to come to the coast. We haven't put a penny of that into the budget. So all of those are good things that may happen, mm-hmm. but you don't budget for things you don't know for sure.
And when this budget is done, it'll be finished in mid-September, goes into effect October 1st. But throughout the course of the year, this budget is amended multiple times, as I understand it.
Well, a budget has to be amended because it's just a plan. And yet, you know, there'll be within the budget, there'll be things that happen. And what we do in our departments is that the department has a budget, the Public Works Department has a budget, the Fire Department has a budget. If they have to do something that's not in the budget, we work within that the number. We don't raise the total of the budget. We move money within the budget to cover expenses that were not predicted. We can predict only, you know, so much. Our crystal ball is not 100%.
One of the things that comes up, too, during the course of a year is, for instance, the price of fuel could go up. Mm. Gas prices have been known in the past mm-hmm. to go up, you know, right. by a dollar or so. And when you consider how many police cars and the diesel powered fire trucks that are out there, that could be considerable.
Mississippi Power just announced an increase in their rates that's going to affect us too, which we'll hope we'll hope we can do some conservation. Maybe turn the lights on a little bit later at the ballpark.
Now, we have done some things too with some of the thermostats that were put in here at City Hall to turn off the heating and cooling at night. So, Mike, you've done the revenue.
In fact, we in all the city buildings 2 years ago, we relamped all our city buildings with LED lighting to save energy.
So the steps the city's taken is to try to keep those numbers down. Okay, you've done the revenue, as far as you know. You have gone over it with city council. What happens next?
What happens next is that we have another workshop the afternoon of the 14th to go over the department budgets, and each of the department heads will be sitting on the hot seat and explaining their budget to the council, answering any of the council's questions. And the following week, on the 21st, we'll have the final budget workshop that's scheduled, and we'll talk about capital projects. We'll talk about any of the big projects that we need to do, and we may talk about whether we're going to sell another general obligation bond to pay for additional projects. We've got an awful lot going on right now, and there are projects in the future, like the Pops Ferry Bridge, the Pops Ferry Extension roadway, and so forth, the Cedar Lake Bridge repairs. Those are all projects that we need money for next year mm-hmm. In order to keep those projects alive and moving forward. So we'll be talking to the council about all that.
And we're going to have you on the future to talk, because we got a big spread coming up in the September issue about all the road work. But I know you have said, in your opinion, as the chief administrative officer, you view that Pops Ferry Extension as the number one economic development project in the city.
Yeah, I've said that. Not everybody agrees with me. That's the number one. It is. I think West Biloxi is a lot of businesses are drying up there, and there's a lot of people beginning to wonder if that extension is ever going to happen. But we've had meetings just in the last week with the Coliseum. We're about to sign a memorandum of understanding with the Coliseum over what they're going to be able to do. To do their share of helping to pay for that road, and opening that road up. When you think about it, that is just the first, that road from the beach to Pass Road, or from Pass Road mm-hmm, to the beach, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. is just the first step of, you know, take that further to the new Pops Ferry Bridge, and on and on and on the roadways all the way up to Highway 67. That will turn into what we hope will be very similar to Cal and Lorraine Road, the way Cal and Lorraine Road brings traffic in
right.
into Gulfport. And that will really open up West Biloxi.
That's kind of a segue to something that I know you got to run to a meeting, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on one other thing. This week, the National Transportation Safety Board released its findings on the tragedy that occurred in Biloxi at the Main Street crossing when a freight train struck a charter bus that was going across the tracks. And of course, that new Pops Ferry extension is going to go across the railway there. But Mike, what I wanted to ask you was, from a public affairs standpoint and knowing what we've seen over the years with CSX, quite frankly, I thought the NTSB scapegoated Biloxi in saying that this was the city's responsibility. I don't know what authority the city has when it comes to the railway.
Well, I'll have to be careful here, because we don't agree with everything that was in, especially what was written in the newspaper, which I think slanted the story inappropriately. You're right, there's very limited what we can do to a crossing. I mean, we have a project that has been submitted for funding for improvements to the Main Street crossing, and it's waiting for MDOT funding. MDOT and the CSX basically control those crossings, not the city. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's been said, the mayor of Long Beach was on just a couple nights ago talking about the fact that every time that work is done on the railroad, it gets a little higher and a little higher. And we've got 28 crossings that are affected every time they do maintenance. And a city like Biloxi can't be raising its streets every time the railway goes up. And we felt like we had been proactive enough. We'd had signage up. We've put more signage since. And we deal with, it's not like there's not a conversation going on with CSX. We've been talking to them for almost a year and a half now over crossing closures. The city council has approved the closing of 6 crossings. Mm-hmm. We're working towards the parallel roadways that we need in order to close those crossings. We've spent more than $1 million in recent year or so with CSX, just paying them for the kinds of engineering support that has to happen when we do work along the railroads.
Let's be honest. We paid them $90,000 just to look at our plans. Mm-hmm. And then to get a permit from CSX, we've paid over $500,000.
Right. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus here, but the city and CSX are in pretty regular communication over lots of things that are happening on those railroads. And both the CSX and the city want to see some more crossings closed so that we can focus our energy on the remaining crossings.
Well, Mike, I know that that's a tough topic, and I know there's a lot more to be done on it, but I want to thank you, and I certainly want to wish you the best of luck in the upcoming budget session. By the way, the public is welcome to come to any of these sessions too, aren't they?
Yeah, we'd like to have them see. It's very transparent. We'd like to have them see what goes on and what the interaction and so forth. And I guess I'll finish with my favorite, and that is that, here in the city of Biloxi, every day is a holiday and every meal is a feast.
I love this guy. He brings so much experience and authority to this chief administrative officer job. And Mayor Gilich knew when he brought Mike Leonard on board that he brought a vast amount of experience. And I'm not talking about military. I'm talking about military as well as in the private sector. Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, does Mike Leonard know what he's talking about?
Yes, he does. He does. He's very fun to work with, but he's very educated, and he really takes time to learn the city of Biloxi, learn the projects that are going on, and be very knowledgeable on each thing.
What I note about him is a very astute businessman. There is an art to it, and you have to have that acumen within you, and that is to ask the right questions and to know what those questions are. And that's only part of the tableau that makes him why he is valuable to us, the city of Biloxi.
He grew up here in Biloxi before he moved on to bigger and greater things, and then Mayor Gilich was able to lure him back. But the soft spot for Mike Leonard is over at the VA. His dad worked over at the VA, and his dad had a leadership position over at the VA, so he is very attuned to anything that impacts the Veterans Administration Medical Center in Biloxi.
Also the Marines.
Yes, the U.S. Marines. He brings a cake in every year on the birthday of the Marine Corps.
Semper Fi.
Cecilia, what else you got going on? Because We've just drug on and on with the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this weekend, the Parks and Recreation Department will have their second session their second registration for football and cheerleading. That'll be Saturday, August the 11th, from 9 to noon at the Donald M. Snyder Community Center. They're going to have a registration for flag football, which is new this year, for ages 5 to 6, tackle football for ages 7 to 12, cheerleading for ages 6 to 12. Again, that's at the Snyder Center from 9 to noon on Saturday. Then on Monday, August the 13th, the Biloxian Auditorium will have, or the Aquatics Division at the Biloxian Auditorium will have registration for its swimming lessons. They have swim lessons all year round. So they'll have them in the fall, but this will be in the evening. Lessons are open to ages 1 to adults. And the lessons themselves actually start September the 10th. But again, registration begins Monday, August the 13th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then the Biloxi Shuckers, right now they're out on the road, but they will return on Tuesday, August the 14th, to play against the Mobile Bay Bears. They have 5 games against the Mobile Bay Bears. Then immediately they go into playing the Pensacola Wahoos. So they'll be here for 10 straight games.
She has just become a huge baseball fan, hasn't she?
Yeah, and I can remember the first interview when we went over there. It was very interesting. I guess just to be polite, it was a deer in headlights.
It was definitely a deer in the headlights. But, I mean, she has embraced it now, and we've become great friends with the front office staff over there, our friend Danny, and, of course, General Manager Hunter Reed.
We should go over there again. And, yes, we should go over there, and let's see how you handle it. Yeah, let's go another one. Yeah,
we'll go over and do another show over there. Hunter's got a lot to talk about with what's happening with the Shuckers. We are working right now on our September issue of B News. We want to let anyone know if they have an item for the community calendar. It needs to be an item, an event in Biloxi, and it needs to be taking place during the month of September. Since it's the September issue, email your information to Kay Miller, K-M-I-L-L-E-R, at biloxi.ms.us. Name of event, date, time, location, any admission fee, and a one-sentence explanation. And what do they do if they want to buy an ad in B News?
If they want to buy an ad, they can contact Vincent and I, or they can email online at biloxi.ms.us. We send them all the information, such as the specs, and we're taking ads for any newsletter that we have in the future. Mm-hmm. We have different sizes, different options. We can have the ad designed for you. You can have the ad designed and turn it in with no extra cost. And that's really important because that helps us to keep this newsletter going each month. So anybody interested, online at biloxi.ms.us.
And the big thing is, too, we're using just a little bit of tax money for this. This is a revenue-neutral newsletter where the money that comes in from the advertising is what pays for it. So anyway, that is it. If you want to know anything else about what's happening in the city of Biloxi, go to the city's website at biloxi.ms.us. And there's a really cool video that our friend Rennie Sherman just did about the progress on Howard Avenue in downtown. 47 seconds long, and it's got jackhammers all over it, so go watch it.
You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Have a great day, a great weekend. This is William Sackett speaking.
Let me show you this, William. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool.